My guest Clint Eastwood directed the new movie Changeling. His Dirty Harry films were recently collected in a box set with lots of extras. We're going to talk about his early and current work. Let's start with a scene from the new film Changeling, which is based on a real incident from 1928. Angelina Jolie plays a single mother who returns home from work to find her son has disappeared. 5 months later, the police tell her they found her son, but the boy they present to her isn't him. When she protests, the police, who want to take credit for solving the case, insist that she just doesn't recognize him because he's changed in the 5 months he's been gone. She reluctantly agrees to take the boy home, but later returns to the police, certain that this boy is not her son. Here's Angelina Jolie with Jeffrey Donovan as the police captain.
He's not my son.
Mrs. Collins.
No, I don't know why he's saying that he is, but he's not Walter, and there's been a mistake.
I thought we agreed to give him time to adjust.
He's 3 inches shorter. I measured him on the chart.
Well, maybe your measurements are off. Look, I'm sure there's a reasonable explanation for all of this.
He's circumcised, and Walter isn't.
Mrs. Collins. Your son was missing for 5 months, for at least part of that time in the company of an as-yet unidentified drifter. Who knows what such a disturbed individual might have done? You could have had him circumcised. You could have...
made him shorter? Why aren't you listening to me?
I am listening, damn it. I am listening. And I understand your feelings. He's changed, no mistake. And that's... you've both been through a terrible experience, and that's why he needs your love and support to bounce back.
He's not my son.
Clint Eastwood, welcome back to Fresh Air. The cops in Changeling are very corrupt. It's set in the late 20s and early 30s. It's the LAPD. The captain apparently told his cops to shoot criminals. What was the reputation of the cops when you were growing up in California? Because you grew up in the 30s and 40s.
I didn't, at that particular time in history, I didn't know too much about what was going on. But those are the actual words of the police chief Davis of Los Angeles at that time, is he didn't want to bring in the people dead or alive. He wanted them to be brought in dead, the criminals. But unfortunately, that gets out of control. And there's a slight message that once you get into that sort of thing, you start hammering people down in every other category of government. And, of course, a woman in 1928 probably didn't have, especially a woman who's a single mother and living alone and working for the phone company, probably did not have a great deal of say-so with what was going on.
Changeling is told from the perspective of a woman who becomes the victim of corrupt cops. Of course, one of the series of movies that you're very famous for is Dirty Harry. And a Dirty Harry box set recently came out with all the Dirty Harry movies and a lot of extras and documentaries. Let's just start here with a mix of some of the most famous lines from your Dirty Harry films.
I know what you're thinking, punk. You're thinking, did he fire 6 shots or only 5? Now, to tell you the truth, I forgot myself in all this excitement. But being this is a 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and will blow your head clean off, you could ask yourself a question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, punk?
Go ahead. Make my day.
You're a killer, Harry. A maniac.
Man's got to know his limitations.
Clint Eastwood, when you read those lines for the first time, did you think these lines will live in film history?
Well, I thought they had potential. The first one is from Dirty Harry, the original Dirty Harry. And when I first read the script by Harry Julian Fink, he had that little speech in there. But I also chose to reprise it at the end, too, because I felt it was such a good line. I felt it was a good way to wrap up the movie.
What were your first impressions when you read Dirty Harry the first time?
I just thought it was actually Paul Newman had led me onto it. He told Jennings Lang who was an executive at Universal at that time, that there's a script that I read, this exciting detective story. It might be great for Clint. And, of course, when Jennings told me that, I said, well, how come Paul didn't want to do it? He says, well, he's got some questions about the political ramifications or what have you, but he thinks it's an exciting story and you might want to do it. And I read it and I did. I thought it was an exciting detective story and wanted to do it. I don't care much about political ramifications one way or the other. You know, you have to tell some points of view in different movies, so why not?
I think the political ramifications that Paul Newman would have been concerned about would include that Harry doesn't believe in mirandizing people. I mean, because it just gets in the way. In fact,
true.
let's play a clip of that.
You're lucky I'm not indicting you for assault with intent to commit murder.
What?
Where the hell does it say you've got a right to kick down doors, torture suspects, deny medical attention and legal counsel? Where have you been? Does Escobedo ring a bell? Miranda? I mean, you must have heard of the Fourth Amendment. What I'm saying is that man had rights.
Well, I'm all broken up about that man's rights.
You had already worked with Don Siegel on Two Mules for Sister Sarah and The Beguiled before making Dirty Harry. Did he have an interesting approach to action scenes and gun scenes? Are there things that you learned about those kinds of scenes from watching him direct?
Well, I liked his directing style because he was kind of a no-nonsense guy and he knew exactly what he wanted. I've worked for other directors who were like that, and I always admired him. People got right to it and they came very prepared and kind of had a vision of what they wanted to do. I've also worked with directors along the way who were very insecure about their vision. And when that happens, that makes it very frustrating for the actors because you don't get the feeling that the production is going any place in particular.
Harry doesn't have a lot of respect for the mayor. Dirty Harry, was your payback for that becoming a mayor and having to oversee a bureaucracy and oversee a police department?
Well, it was no. That was strictly a local deal in my community that I live, and I enjoyed that very much. But the question of whether it's payback of Dirty Harry, I can't say that because Dirty Harry is just a character. I don't really believe like that person. In fact, it's much more fun to play a person that you don't necessarily agree with in a lot of ways. But it's a fantasy thing. It's a fantasy. Wouldn't it be great if there was somebody like this? If I was in trouble in society, or if you were, or any one of us out there was in trouble, wouldn't you like to have somebody as dogmatic as this coming out, trying to work on your behalf?
My guest is Clint Eastwood, and he directed the new movie, Changeling. I've probably told you this before, but I was such a big fan of Rawhide when I was a kid. I know it was probably a very frustrating experience for you, but I love the show. And one of the things you had to do is learn how to, as the theme song goes, rope, roll, and brand them, because it was all about, you know, a cattle driving herd. So did you have to learn how to, you know, rope, roll, and brand steer?
Well, I did it periodically. Most of the time it was done by trickery. You know, you'd come in and you'd catch the steer, and then you'd cut to some other thing, and then come back and the steer was already branded or something. But it was great fun. That series was great fun. At the time, after I had done about 3 years of it, I thought, maybe wouldn't it be nice to go on and do something else? But I just sort of set it in my mind that this was a great experience. I have no regrets. It was great. It was a great learning ground.
Because you became a star on Rawhide, you did what a lot of stars at the time did. You made some pop recordings. And I thought we could talk about the first recording that you ever made, and I believe that was Unknown Girl?
Yeah, I think I did something like that, yeah. In those days, they would take actors who were on a series and they would figure, well, that's a head start. At least their face is familiar, or their character is familiar, and they could get a record going for them. I recorded a few times, but I can't say that anything was earth-shattering about it.
Let's hear the first recording that you made. And this was a single called Unknown Girl in 1961. And here's how it sounded. This isn't the best recording of it, but it's the only one we have.
I would travel far and wide just to have you by my side. Unknown girl of my dream.
That's Clint Eastwood, recorded in 1961. One of the things I find so interesting about that is, you know, here you are, this guy who, like, loves Fats Waller and then decides, no, I love, also love Charlie Parker and Bud Powell. And here you are making this, you know, kind of very generically produced pop recording.
Thank you for not playing the whole record.
You're welcome.
I have to give you a lot of points on that one. But, yeah, well, you know, you're just, that's what music was all about in the 60s. You know, everything was, it was starting to get into the rock and roll era, and it wasn't complicated. But to have to listen, you think looking at yourself on the screen is tough. That is really tough.
There's nothing wrong with her voice. It's the arrangement that's so generic sounding.
I know, the arrangements are really corny.
My guest is Clint Eastwood. He directed the new movie Changeling. His Dirty Harry films were recently collected in a DVD box set. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Clint Eastwood, and his new movie, which he directed, is called Changeling. In your films, the Dirty Harry films, the Westerns, you've had to give and take a lot of physical abuse. What did you have to learn to do in order to take physical abuse within your roles?
Well, you get nicks and scrapes and bruises and things like that from whenever you do stunts, but you kind of live with it because you're into the roles. In fact, I always wanted to do all the stunts and stuff when I was a young man doing those things because it was all part of the character. But then as you get older and wiser, you decide, well, maybe you shouldn't jeopardize the production by putting yourself at risk and putting the whole production at risk by not having a stunt double.
What's the least wise stunt that you did in your career?
I remember having to be on the hood of a car. The scene is he's going to roll off the car just before the car piles into the bay. Well, they had me wired under the car so I wouldn't roll off and get hurt along the way, so they had a cable up drilled through the hood. And so I was wired out of the car. Well, all of a sudden when you get wired on there with this cable, and you think, well, what happens if somebody, you know, before they don't stop in time and you go right into the bay? I'm stuck wired on there. I can't even float to the surface. So it was, you know, a couple of things like that. They cause you to get a little bit of reticence. But in the meantime, I've had quite a few of them jumping through windows and jumping off roofs and things like that.
Let's look ahead a little bit. You have another film coming out very soon called Gran Torino that, from what I've read, is about a Korean War veteran who returns home and has some very anti-Asian feelings, maybe as a result of... You made the film. You can tell me instead of me telling you what it's about.
Well, he's not anti-Asian. He's anti-everything. He's a guy who was in the Korean War. It's present day, a guy who was in the Korean War. But then after that, he went to work in the Ford factory for over 50 years, and he's now an older guy, and he lives by himself, and he's his neighborhood has changed, and the world is changing around him, and he's having a rough time communicating with his own family, and it's sort of how he befriends these Asian people who he at first doesn't like just for the principle of it. The neighborhood's changed a lot, but then how he forms a relationship with these people, and the story goes on from there.
And finally, it seems to me like you're not thinking about retiring or anything. You've got two films coming out this season.
Yeah, I often wonder why that's happening, but it's just a matter of it seems like in the last 5 years, as soon as I'd be finishing one, I'd come across something else that I liked. When I was doing Mystic River, Al Ruddy gave me $1 Million Baby, and I said, "Yeah, I'll do that." So I just went ahead and prepared that and did that right afterwards. And then while I was preparing Flags of Our Fathers, we got the idea of doing the Japanese version, the Letters from Iwo Jima. Then this one was the same way. I was doing Changeling, working on the editing, and this little film, Gran Torino, came along, and I liked the story. I figured, well, might as well do it.
Well, Clint Eastwood, thank you so much for talking with us. A pleasure to talk with you.
Terry, good talking to you again.
Clint Eastwood directed the new film Changeling. His Dirty Harry films are now collected on a DVD box set.